raised from the cross. So now what is Satan's tools? It's deception and lies, getting to believe things. Amen. Acts 6:26-18 says this. Paul is before King Agrippa and Festus. It says to, he's talking to them and he's imploring them, because at this time he's in prison and he's going to be going before Caesar. So he's spent about 2 years in prison right here in Israel before he was put on a ship and sent to Italy. And so it says to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light. So what's God trying to do? We talked last week about opening our eyes, didn't we? How the Spirit of God opens our eyes. So to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to what? To God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who've been sanctified by faith in him. Amen. So he's saying who turned from Satan to God, meaning turned from lies and deception and following the ways of this world, following just what your flesh told you to do, to being crucified with Christ and walking in his righteousness, his truth, and his character is what Paul was talking about here. And so in this last time, I want to highlight the scripture as we move on. So that Paul here and Timothy said, and I think maybe in this generation, this is exactly where we might be right now. And it's 1 Timothy 4:1-2 says, but the Spirit explicitly says, man, saying this is going to happen. The Spirit of God wants you to know that this is going to be happening in the future. There's going to come a time where things, where you're going to see what he just says right here. He says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith. That breaks my heart to think that some will fall away from the faith. And you have to say, well, why would they fall away from the faith? Here's the reason. Paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. And this thing being searing, you could look in the book of Jude, you could look in the book of Romans 1. It talks about these people who knew the truth, but because of circumstances, something, sometimes that they get upset or become bitter or unforgiving, they'll begin to resist the truth and say, I know what's right or wrong, but I no longer want to follow that. They are seduced by lying spirits to speak things that aren't truthful. And he's talking about people in the church of Jesus Christ. And so what might that look like today? I don't know about you, but my desire is, say, Lord, not only being born again and saved by his blood, by faith, we talked about it as the Lord spoke, I believe, during the end of worship, is, Lord, I want to walk in truth. I want to know the truth. I want to pursue the truth, amen, so that things will go well with me as I walk with you upon this earth. Let me say, so most people live their lives unaware of the spiritual the world. I want to say this, that, you know, I love this nation. I love my nation. I'm an American. I love the United States of America. I love before sports game. I think they might still do this. Maybe they don't. But I love before sports games that they would play or sing the Star Spangled Banner. Is that correct? Yeah. It brings tears to my eyes to this very day. It does. It brings tears to my eyes, and still so thankful that you and I could meet like this and worship the Lord as loud as we want, as loud as we want. Used to love Pastor Lee, the pastor who founded this church. He went to Cuba 5 times before he said, I finally came to my senses. I can't go to Cuba anymore because of the danger and the things that would happen. But he said he remembered that they'd have these houses just packed with people, but they'd have people watching. Okay, go ahead and worship, but not too loud. Okay, he's preaching. To tell that preacher he's doing a great job, but can't keep it down a little bit because there's people watching. They didn't want him preaching the gospel or worshiping out loud. Remember him telling about one time where this man came in. He's dressed really, really, really nice, and he didn't know if he had cancer or something because he was just gaudily thin. The super thin, looked sick or whatever. And so remember Pastor Lee saying, I don't know what happened to him. If he's got cancer, do we need to pray for him? They said, no, he just got out of prison for preaching the gospel. And there he said he was just worshiping him with with tears coming down his eyes. Man, I love this nation that you and I can still come together and worship and honor him. You know, I loved hearing the stories of my grandfather. He's passed away, but he fought in France. He was in France in World War II, fighting German soldiers on French soil. And if you know me well, if you get to know me, you're going to see this Luger 9mm that my grandfather gave me. You know, it has the leather case. It's got like wood handles. It's German made. He took it off a dead German officer in France. And it's got that leather case that's getting older and older, and there's blood on it. Now, when I was younger, we're going back some years, you could see that blood. It was darker, but as time goes on, it gets fainter and fainter and fainter. But you can still see that blood on that gun. And I love to hear those stories of him seeing not only him, but, you know, him coming through that, but also the heartbreaking stories of many men around him dying, protecting, you know, other nations, standing for America, standing for liberty, standing for truth. Those stories I love to hear, and I still think there's a part in the fabric of the U.S., the United States, that's still there. Yes. And let me just say this, another note I'm going to get into. I believe Trump has brought about a great shaking in this nation. I'll talk about that. He's brought about a great shaking in this nation. I'll talk a little bit further about some of the things on the Republican platform that concern me, that I see weakening, that I see actually kind of no mention of anymore, that concern me. So I believe that there's been a great shaking. Hebrews 12, 26 through 29, we'll start getting into the, Lord, help me to, let me just say this, Lord Jesus, help me to communicate this message with your wisdom, with your Holy Spirit, with your love, with your strength, with your ability, Lord. Lord, may the things that I say be from your heart and mind, from the Word of God, and not just opinions. Lord, may the truth of God touch our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hebrews 12, 26 through 29 in the ESV says, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. You know, when Moses was given the Ten Commandments, they couldn't go up on the mountain, and the mountain was on fire, and it shook. That's what he's talking about there. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but all the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates that the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. It says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The kingdoms of this world will always be shaken. Things will always be shaken. But the kingdom of God right now can never be shaken. Amen? Therefore, be grateful for we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And for me, and I look at this consuming fire, I'm like, Lord, thank you for consuming me with the fire of God. Thank you that the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, I got a fire within me that you've consumed me. Amen? And so this saying that what can be shaken, I think we're in a time where things can be shaken, where we've seen political, that we think of it just like, please don't just think of it, or you've got a choice between the left and the right, but let me tell you this, that it's a valley of decision. It's a decision that you're making. What do you believe as far as right and wrong, good and bad, evil and righteousness, evil and good, God and the devil, what you believe and what you stand for? See, with the things that we've seen lately, it started a dividing. We see such a division in this country. Let me just tell you this, that God knows about this division that he's seen in the country. And I'm going to say this, I believe God is the instigator, is the one who started it, because he wants to know, people need to see themselves. What side of the dividing wall do you stand, so to speak? Where do you stand biblically? What do you think about God? What do you think about the things that you read in the Bible? It's given this country an opportunity to say, what do you believe? This division, believe me, that we see right now, I believe, is from God. It's called being in the valley of decision. The valley of decision. God's saying, America, where are your roots? What do you believe? America, you have an opportunity to see either I'm pursuing this way, I'm coming your way, Lord. And we have people coming. We have young people talking to, you know, Youth Alive directors and people involved in that. We see this percentage. I wish it was a larger percentage. But we do see a percentage of young people coming to the truth of the gospel. Not only coming to Jesus, but coming to a realization of what's right or wrong. It's not just a coming to Jesus, but it's this valley of decision. Are you going to believe what the Word of God says? Are you going to believe about what's truth and not truth? Are you going to stand upon my word? Or are you going to give in to seducing spirits? See, the things that we've seen with everything with Trump and him and his running and abortion and the things we'll talk about, it's allowed us to see our and to process and look at ourselves saying, man, is there things in my life that I've allowed in that are not biblical? Have I allowed things in my life, Lord, that grieve your heart? Lord, is there things that you cry and weep over that I'm like, yeah, no big deal? We're going to talk about a few of those things today. We're in that valley of decision. There's things shaking. And what I've noticed the last few years as we've been in this thing of shaking through the pandemic, plandemic, whatever you want to call it, and our elections, as we've seen a shakening. And what I've seen in my life is things that don't need to be there begin to fall off. Lord, thank you for what we're seeing in society today that it's become so stark. Right and wrong, which side of the fence am I going to be on, Lord? What am I going to believe? Lord, it's an opportunity to say, Lord, do I really believe the Word of God? Or is it something I remember in Sunday school? Or something I hear every once in a while, the scripture of the day? Lord, do I even really know what your word says? Do I really know what you believe to be truth? Lord, do I know what breaks your heart and what makes your heart leap for joy? It's been a time where things have been shaking, where you and I say, okay, what is saying that shaking and those things that will remain are going to be those things of God in the believer. Or there's going to be some of those who are going to say, no, I'm holding on to that. And they're going to give themselves over to a seducing spirit and a doctrine of demons. I don't know about you, Adam. That's not going to be me. And I'm not saying that in being prideful. It's just that, Lord, I cry out to the Lord. The thing that the church and the people have to cry out and say, Lord, I want truth. I want to walk in your truth. I'm crying out to you for truth. Lord, as I see things shaking, I want to walk in the light as you are in the light. Amen. So this shaking has brought the nation, I believe, into the valley of decision. That comes from Joel chapter 3. 14 through 16, Joel chapter 3, it says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth quake, that shaking. But the Lord is a refuge to his people, a stronghold to the people of Israel. And if that's you and I being a part of Israel, that's us. That's talking about you and I. So it's saying these things have been shaken, this valley of decision, but it's saying the Lord is a refuge to his people, a stronghold to the people of Israel. Amen? The children of Abraham, in other words, say, Lord, as we've seen this shaking, man, I am holding on to the things that are truth, and I am rejecting these lies that our culture today say, these are okay. These are things that grieve and break God's heart, and he needs a people that will stand up and say, I'm sorry, I am not going that direction. I'm not buying into doctrines of demons. Doesn't mean we don't love people, but we got to know the truth. We got to know what we believe so we can, when we talk to people. We got to be standing on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. This multitude, that scripture, Joel chapter 3, that also indicates the Spirit of God coming in and shaking things up. He is coming in to this nation to shake things up in the valley of the decision to ask people, part of that when they're voting, who they're going to put in office, determining what's going to happen to the church, determining what's going to happen to people, determining what's going to happen to our moralities. It is saying this to the people, what do you want? Do you want to walk your own way still? Do you want to thumb your nose at me? Or you realize the shaking going on and saying, Lord, I'm going to pursue you. And the next point on five is the shaking in America is determining what altar, this is where, what altar Americans are going to worship at. People have a choice. Let me just tell you, there's these different, this is an amazing scripture from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 19 and 21. Listen to this scripture carefully, would you? Paul's talking. He's talking about those who there's all these different gods and they have these altars and they're sacrificing, and some of those meats they'd be sacrificed and they would be sold in markets. And he's talking about the Christians, so should you buy these meats? And he started saying that the meat doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter about the meat that you're buying. Don't ask if it was sacrificed to a god. Then he goes on to say, but this is what matters. What do I mean then? That food sacrificed to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No. But I say that things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become partners with demons, he says. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. You say, well, what's that got to do with us? I don't see many Buddha. Yeah, well, you do now probably more, but I don't see all these idols and people worshiping at them. But believe me, America has their idols. You cannot have what's going on in society and not have strongholds, demonic forces over those areas. They're ideologies now, and people don't realize that when they hold on to these ideologies, that they're worshiping at that idol, and they're actually worshiping demons who's deceived them to buy into that. So those aren't the table of the Lord. They're actually tables of demons that they're worshiping at. That's heavy duty. Merrick doesn't really worship at an altar in gold, wood, or per se, but what are the ideas, the strongholds in America that form an idol that is worshiping demons? And this is where I'm going to get into some specific things that we got to be that we know of. But understand, these are demonic strongholds. These are the things that the demons are pushing. These are the things where demons are pushing in society, so people will thumb their nose at God, and they don't realize in these areas that they're worshiping Satan and not worshiping God. Now, God wants to bring people out of that, but how does God bring people out of that? The truth. Repentance. Coming into the truth. And so the number one modern day worship of Baal is abortion. Is abortion. It's what modern day Baal worship. How do I know? Let's go to Jeremiah 19:15. This is where I'm going to talk about. This is, and it's talking about the Israelites who had forsaken God. They knew him. Yeah, we're Israelites. We worship the God of Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But here's Jeremiah 19:5 says, and have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal. A thing which I did not command nor speak of, nor did I ever enter my mind. Let me say this. I'm going to say this real quick. You know what God needs? God needs women or men that are involved, who've been involved in abortions, to stand up and say, you know what? God healed me, forgive me, but this is wrong. This is wrong. God needs women that'll be bold enough to say, God has forgiven me by his blood. And he can forgive you too, and he loves you too. God needs those type of people. So if you're here and if you've experienced anything like this, man, the blood of Jesus washes every sin away. But it doesn't change the truth or lie. What you're saying is that I was deceived, or I just did what I wanted there, and now I realize that. And Lord Jesus, thank you that your blood has washed my sins away. And thank you, just being right to the point, I will see that baby in heaven again. I love this. I was watching this gentleman that had a dream. These different people having dreams of being in heaven. And I was listening to, not dreams, they actually died. Sorry. They went to heaven, or some of them even went to hell. And this one gentleman was talking all about heaven, and he was talking about this area where all the aborted babies went, and they were grown up. They were grown up in like a heavenly nursery. God loves every baby. Every baby, every baby, is a soul. Every baby aborted goes to heaven. It just isn't just some substance wiped out. They're a baby. They're a baby. So every baby aborted is with him. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not going to determine. I'm not going to make any exceptions for it. I'm sorry. Because every baby that's aborted goes to heaven is with him. We got a part of this nation that is worshiping at the altar of abortion. Don't realize they're worshiping a demon, a principality, and a power over this nation. And this is what it sounds like. This is my body. I'll do what I want with it. No, you don't realize the deception there. No, you're deciding something that breaks God's heart, because he loves people. They're made in his image. How he grieves that you're buying into a lie, a doctrine of demons, and you're worshiping at the altar of Baal. Another form, Baal shows up in many different names. Not going to show up in this society as Baal, but is worshiping at the altar of Baal. You know what it is? It's just this. It's just simple. Lord, I repent of the way I believed. I change the way I believe. And I'm going to believe the way that the Word of God says that I was fitfully and wonderfully made. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves you and I. We were talking about last Wednesday, the Holy Spirit was saying how precious you and I are in his sight. How precious we are. How precious every baby, every human being. How precious you are this morning. You weren't a mistake. He made you for a purpose. He loves you. Amen? He loves you, made you for a purpose. He loves to take the misfit even and he's the potter, we are the clay, and to make us into exactly what he wants us to, so that when God does something in us, we can't take the glory, because he couldn't. God gets the glory for that. I know that person. Amen. So that when the modern day of Baal, so this is the thing I could talk about. I looked at the Republican platform, and I don't think I see anything else about anything on that platform now about abortion. Yeah, it doesn't say anything. We got to be careful. What they start doing is they start pulling these things just a little bit. The platform looks good, 95%, but we have this thing now that's abortion not on there. Here's another thing, and you may just food for thought. We have these other people that are political leaders that are coming on board Trump on supporting him, but they're very radically pro-abortion. Man, those are things that people, they're worshiping demons. You'd realize that type of thinking. So we got to be careful that at the expense of winning, we'll pull people onto our platform to help us get votes that are deceived, that are radically, radically to the left on most of the things that you and I don't agree with. That breaks God's heart. God wants a people. It doesn't matter if he's not going to get it from a politician, doesn't matter. He'll get it from people. He'll get a people that says, man, I see that, and I won't compromise what I believe. I'm not going to worship at any other altars than the pure altar of Jesus Christ. Amen. When I see things that are no longer on a platform about marriage only between a man and a woman, and I don't see anything about and I'll get to it with LGBTQIA on the platform anymore, because we want to get votes. I wonder, hey, what are we willing to worship? Where are we willing to worship in order to get into power? See, Jesus is going to have a pure people that walk in the light as he is in light and the truth, that are not going to compromise in any area, so they can be helpful and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Abortion's that first one. So I'm going to say the slaughter of me, I'm going to say it this way, the slaughter of millions of unborn children is worshiping at the altar of Satan. Period. Second one, let's keep going. We're going to get better, but we'll just get through this, okay? Greed is idolatry. How do you say that? Hey, if you're in a country that's how many trillions of dollars in debt and willing to get there, Republican, Democrat, whatever, what did we do that our country can be in $35 trillion of debt, but I can't live that way? If I live that way, I'm in trouble. If we don't live within our means, saints, if our country doesn't live within our means because each politician just keeps promising stuff, and we don't do we'd make the hard decisions to live within our means, man, that's an idol of greed. Colossians 3:5 says, therefore, treat the parts of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. 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 In this nation, greed can be. When I hear conservative, and just things like that, when I hear conservative talking heads saying, hey, we got to get back to certain things that we need to do and policies to make this country prosperous again. No, that's actually backwards. What we need to do is get this country back to God and worshiping and honor God, because he's the one that brings us the prosperity. It's not going to be, what that's saying is, without realizing what that's saying is, hey, it's these policies of these people that brought this nation its prosperity. No, it's Jesus Christ putting our trust in him, his sovereignty in our life, our being rooted and grounded in Judeo-Christianity and trusting him that's brought us our prosperity first and foremost. So when I hear people saying, hey, we need to have these things in place, these policies, and they don't mention anything about God, don't mention anything about coming back to God, it's actually a twisted lie. To be prosperous in this nation, we need to come back to God and give our lives to him. That's the only answer here, is a repentance and coming back to God the Father, removing those different idolatries in the American lives and worshiping him. Hallelujah. Greed is an idolatry. 1 Thessalonians 2:5 says, Paul says, we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with the pretext for greed. God is our witness. Let me just say this, that you know, when you're walking in those truths and trusting God, he loves to prosper his people, because then you know where it comes from. You know it comes from you. You know it wasn't because you've got a big brain. You know it wasn't because of your effort. It may be God certain giftings and talents that God has given you, but you know it's because of the prosperity of God on your life that he's blessed you. And so what I've learned to do is say, Lord, thank you for blessing me. I want to be a conduit to give to those in need and those around me that need help. No, I want to be that conduit, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to walk in greed. Lord, I don't want to be greedful. I've come to learn that how to break greed over your life is be willing to give it away. Be willing to give it away. Be willing to be a giver, because it says the righteous are generous. You want to break greed over your life, be generous. Amen? Be generous, and it'll break that over your life. So greed is Paul said, it's an idolatry, worshiping. Oh, if I just had this, what does that mean? If I just had this, if I just focused on this, I would be happy. If I just had this house, if I just had that vehicle, if I just had that amount of money, whatever, I would be happy. That's idolatry. What the Lord says, hey, pursue me, man, and I'll bless your socks off. He does. I know he does. He will bless your socks off if you'll trust him. Part of another thing is that idolatry, greed, that the enemy works around. Next one. It's quiet in here, but I'm going to continue anyway. So that abortion, Baal worship, come out of it. He loves everybody. He loves everybody. Don't give your life to the pursuit of money. He wants to bless you, but he needs people that will pursue him, that he can bless, that he can funnel monies through to other people. Number C, that was ABC, is LGBTQIA. Let me just say, I'm talking about the shaking in the valley of decision, what's going on. Let me just tell you this, God loves every individual, and we don't know where people are. When I talk about this, I'm not talking about God hating those that struggle with same-sex attraction or whatever they're dealing with. I'm talking about what the Word of God says and what God thinks about it, what He thinks about it. I'm talking about a prevailing demonic spirit at an altar of worshiping demons, an ideology, and the biggest one that is a danger to this country and a danger to every society that's come before us, as Sodom and Gomorrah, is the LGBTQI movement that is absolutely, totally against the Word of God. It is totally against what you and I believe. And what it is a push to push us saying, you will bow to our idol. You will bow to what we believe and say that this is okay. Well, God is saying, no, it isn't okay. Well, God is saying, my blood is enough to set you free from same-sex attraction, from the desire to be the opposite sex you are. God made you a man. He made you a man with a purpose. If God made you and you were born a woman, He's made you a woman for a purpose. And it's the people, a certain segment of society worshiping that idol of LGBTQIA, deceptive spirits that talk to people saying, no, you'd be happier if you were the opposite sex. And now I hear some of these people who've come out of that, and the things that the heartbreaking stories that they've already transitioned, and they were more miserable than ever, and they talked about how they were tricked into that. That is demonic and evil. And we have the answer, which is Jesus Christ loves you. He wants to wash and cleanse you and bring you full of joy and strength and peace the way that He made you. And I will not bow and worship at an idol of LGBTQIA that we get such pressure in society to accept it, but it is an abomination to God in the Word of God. And I'm not saying those things to hurt people's feelings. I say the truth so you'll come out of it. You don't come out of something unless you know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Lord, break through those things. And the things where here's what I've come to realize, because I've had to deal with them myself. When I say these things and it comes against your heart, and your heart won't receive it or it comes against it, that is a spirit of Antichrist trying to deceive you. Do not allow it to deceive you. You reject it and say, Lord, I'm going to believe what the Word of God says regarding of what I'm struggling with or what I've let into my life in the past. Lord, I'm kicking it out with the truth of the Spirit of God. So yes, here's how we love people, saying, hey, my God loves you. He made you just the way you are. He wants to heal you from when you were molested. He wants to heal you from whenever those things that have twisted your heart and mind, where the enemy's come in and deceived you, where the enemy's come in and whispered to you for you to believe a lie and to worship at an altar that is not of God. And what we do is when we realize that truth, saying, Lord Jesus, I want to be exactly like you truly made me. See, we think true love is just being mealy-washy if we're not careful. We want to love all people. But we're coming up to a time where you're either going to have to stand up and walk with the truth, or you're going to bow at an idol like a Baal with the power of Satan behind it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says in Romans chapter 1, it says, they exchanged the truth of God for falsehood. Is there areas in your life that you've exchanged the truth for falsehood? So for they exchanged the truth of God for falsehood and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know, what about you? Are you in the valley of decision? Are there altars, doctrines of demons you have insisted on defending? Just a question that you need to let go of. You know, this is what I've realized. Some of these things people defend is exactly what allows the enemy to bring torment into their life. I don't care how much prayer you get. I believe in deliverance, definitely. But it's mixed with the truth. A lot of those things, you could get delivered today of something, but if you haven't, if you're believing an untruth, a thing that allows a demonic foe in and out of your life or just in your life to torment you, it's there because you've opened the door based upon a lie. A lie opens a door. A truth closes it. Amen. Worshiping Him and honoring Him and having a repentant heart drives the enemy far from us. Amen. I love this, and let me go to this. And I know for a fact the Lord brought me this message. I do. Amen. He loves His people. He loves His people so much. He says, "Hey, I want you to walk in the truth." It's not a thing of hating or hating people. It's not at all. It's a realizing how much He loves people and how He wants to set them free. How can we have people set free if we don't even know what they need to be set free from? Isaiah 51, 21, and 23, as our lovely piano player comes up front. Isn't she awesome? Isaiah 51, 21 through 23. Hey, do you still love me?
Yes.
Okay. Isaiah 51, 21 through 23 says, "Therefore, listen to this." So I love the scripture, "You afflicted." If you got any affliction in your life, would you hear the word of the Lord today? How much he loves you and cares for you? "Therefore, listen to this, you afflicted who are drunk, but not with wine. This is what the Lord, your God, who contends for His people, says." He's contending for you. He's a jealous God. He does not like seeing the enemy torment people in any area of their life. Any area. Not any area. This is what I love. It says, "Behold, I have taken from your hand the cup of staggering, the chalice of my anger. You will never drink it again." What's that say? He's talking about when Jesus, he's not angry at you. He's not opposing you. The question is some of your beliefs opposing Him. Now, He's for you. He loves you. He paid the ultimate price for you. He finished it all. I love that scripture that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While I was a hooligan, He still loved me. While I was opposed to Him and walking in my own direction, He still loved me. And He loved me even while I still insisted to have fellowship in areas that breaks His heart. He's still here. He's still with us. He's long-suffering and patient. And He's calling His people to say, "Hey, there's a great divide right now." Man, the things that we're seeing here that we get so angry, I feel like the God's saying, "I caused those things. I allowed those things to show a separation. You want to walk with me? You want to walk in truth? Or do you want to worship at the idol of deceptive spirits, deceitful spirits, and doctrines of demons?" What He's saying is, come out of doctrines of demons. See, what happens when a people willfully walk in doctrines of demons and they know it's wrong, but they continue to do it, they end up having what the Bible would call a reprobate mind. And only the Lord knows when somebody comes into a reprobate mind. I don't know. I've heard stories and seen people you would think are a reprobate mind, and here they are, come to Christ. So don't assume people you see that are deep in darkness are reprobate. Only the Lord knows. I mean, Apostle Paul seemed like a reprobate to me, didn't he, to you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's like, I was just reading this morning when he was talking about, "Hey, I was going everywhere I could and trying to imprison many Christians I had that I could. I hated them. I wanted to see them die. I did see some of them die." Man, that guy seems like a reprobate. He seems like a reprobate politician to me. But yet God chose him, yes. Brought him out.
Yes. So good.
And used him for His glory. Right. And we're still reading these amazing words of grace and truth to this very day. They're changing my life. You will never drink it again, he says. Man, he's not against you. He's for you. And this is what I love what he says here. He says, I will put it into the hand of your tormentors. That's Satan. He's saying, here. This is how he torment the enemy, is when you get set free in an area, there's nothing the enemy can do. It torments him when people come to Christ. It torments Satan when people come into light. I will put it into the hand of your tormentors who have said to you, lie down so that we may walk over you. You ever felt like you're just defeated? The enemy's just walking over you? You have also made your back like the ground and like the street for those who walk over it. But the Lord says, never again will that happen. Can you stand up with me? Here's the wonderful thing. It's just saying, Lord, I wanna walk with you in every area. See, another thing I notice is an epidemic is how many people say, well, I believe in the Bible, but not all of it. So which part do you determine what you believe or not? This is what I've come to realize. It's the area where the enemy's voice has already got a home in an area of our life. And this is what the fear of God is. This is what I've come to realize what the fear of God is. Lord, I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be one of those who are seduced by doctrines of demons. Lord, I kick that thing out in Jesus' name. It's gone. And Lord, I worship you and I honor you, and I replace that with the truth of the Word of God that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Can you raise your hands with me and say, Lord Jesus, I just receive from you. I honor you. I praise you, Father God. Lord, every area, Lord, just tell the Lord, say, Lord, every area of my life I want to walk in truth. Lord, I don't want to defend lies that are rooted in my life. I don't want to defend those areas anymore. Lord, I don't want to have things that I'm defending that are actually bringing torment into my life. Lord, what you say is, Lord, I rebuke those things. Let the Holy Spirit show you what those may be. He wants to speak to us and talk to us. And you say, Lord Jesus, I just give you my life. I belong to you. And Lord, those areas that are lies, I rebuke them and I replace them with the truth, Lord Jesus. I don't want to worship at any other altar but yours. I want to have a pure worship to you. I don't want to be like the Israelites that they're worshiping one week in the temple and then the next day they're out worshiping Baal and giving their children, sacrificing their children, and somehow came to a point in their lives where that was okay. How did that happen? Slowly letting those things come into their lives, into society, and it just built and built and built until they became reprobate and somehow thought it was okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for having a people in America, Lord, may it be many, 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 many millions that are going to walk in the truth. Amen. They're going to break down all those altars. They're going to break those altars down and just worship the one true God. You and I, amen, you and I are living sacrifices. Pure and holy and righteous. Amen. By the blood of the Lamb. I can walk in confidence. So as I'm speaking, it's not that you become unconfident. No, it's like this. Say, thank you, Lord, for showing me those things that are lies, that are rooted and grounded, that are coming out in Jesus' name. And thank you for showing them to me because I am your child. And we go back to the beginning. Is Lord, and your word says that my sheep hear my voice. And if that means if I hear his voice, I begin to more, as I walk with him, to detect the voice of the liar and the thief and the false antichrist who speaks to me. All of a sudden, there might be an area in your life, and all of a sudden you're gonna realize that you're gonna say, hey, that's not the voice of my loving shepherd. That's the voice of the enemy. You go in Jesus' name, and thank you, Lord, we replace in that area with your voice. Through the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We love you. We praise you. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God being like a water just washing over us and cleaning us and cleansing us and healing us and delivering us and leading us and guiding us and changing our attitudes towards one another and changing our attitude towards these things in society. With love, walking in the truth. So, Father, with that, we thank you. We praise you. If you need prayer or if you want to just come to the altar, do whatever God tells you to. But this is what I've come to realize. You can be right in that seat and say, Lord, I'm replacing that lie with the voice of the truth. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And what I've come to realize, what's that brand new thing? Meaning, Lord, I hear your voice. I've got a new attitude towards you. And those areas where I don't have an attitude towards you, change them, Lord. Help me change them. And so with that, Father, we honor you, we praise you, and we exalt you. In the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Do you love him? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.